Word of God. Hallelujah. Just want you to open your hearts today. And before I begin my message, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to go to verse 25, and we'll read through verse 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 says, "See that you refuse him not that speaks." You know, when God speaks, you have a choice: accept or refuse. And the Bible is here saying, don't refuse him that speaks. "For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven?" So don't turn away from him. Open your heart. When God says something to correct, correct it. When he says something to rejoice about, rejoice. Amen? When he says something that's so exciting and you just feel like shouting, shout. Amen? Amen? You know, God likes people engaged with him. So, verse 26, "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Are you ready for the shaking that's about to occur? Amen. Okay? "And this word," everybody say this word, "yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken will remain. Wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Woo, if there was ever a time when we needed some fire to raise up godly fear, it is right now in Jesus' name. And there's going to be a shaking, and it's going to shake from within. You know, there was a time when the disciples went back to their own company and they were rejoicing at how they were beaten for Jesus. They were imprisoned and they were rejoicing. Can you imagine that? Not complaining, but rejoicing. Imagine if we had some people on our newscast that just rejoice about the things of God. They take the negative and they rejoice it because God is so good. These guys in Acts 4, you can read it, not right now, but they were beaten. And they went to their own company rejoicing, and as they prayed, God did something. He shook the house where they were. I've never, ever been in a meeting where the building shook, but that doesn't mean it can't. Amen? Sometimes God's got to shake some things. You know, when someone's sleeping, how do you wake them up? Could you wake up? Can you wake? No, you shake them, don't you? Sometimes you might do some more drastic things. But the body of Christ needs to be shook up some. I think we're sleeping in the body of Christ. So I just want to encourage you. Don't be sleeping today. Amen? But don't refuse his voice either. All right. That's my sermon within a sermon. Now if you turn to the book of 1 John chapter 4. We've been going through the book of 1 John this month. And we're going to continue to do so. And God's got some things for us. Hallelujah. And in verse 1, he says this in 1 John 4:1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So I've entitled this Discerning the Spirit of Truth. And you can know the Spirit of Truth, amen? There are two spirits that are operating in this world. One, the Spirit of Truth, which is God's Spirit. And then the other is the Spirit of Error, which dominates the world system, okay? You know that there's a system in the world? And there's a mentality, there's a mindset in the world. And the Bible is telling us here to not believe every spirit. Can I have that, please? Thank you. So we got to try the spirits. You have to test every spiritual experience that you have. And it has to line up with the Word of God. If it doesn't, it's not of God. And, you know, the devil is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he has been deceiving people for a long time. He's good at what he does. All right? But our God is greater. Amen. Our Father is greater than all. He who is in the believer is greater than he who is in the world. Say, I've got God's greatness in me. All right? So you got to test the spirits and every spiritual experience. All right? Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to notice something here in verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit, now my Bible has that capitalized, talking about the Holy Spirit, speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Can you imagine people departing from the faith? That's a slow moving away. Okay? How do you get people to depart faith? Notice. And he's talking about in the last days. These are times that we're living in now. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're listening to lies. And if you're listening to lies, then you're going to be, then the devil can lead you right away from faith, from the truth. And then you'll be out here and you'll wonder how you got here and he'll devour you. You know, he's just looking for ways to devour you. Now, he can't just come in, okay? How did man first get deceived? The devil can't take anything by force, but he can talk you out of something. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they had an instruction from God, that instruction said, do not eat of this fruit, for if you do, you will die. Okay? You can have every other fruit, every other thing is yours, just leave this one alone. Okay? But then the devil said, did God say, you're not going to die. It's going to be all right. It feels good. It'll make you wise as God. And what happened? Eve was talked out of her blessing. The devil took her blessing. And what happened? They died. Did they die physically? No, but they were separated from the life of God. One act of disobedience separated them from the life of God, and it brought a curse on this earth. It changed the whole environment. Now there are thorns. Now there's the sweat of the brow. Now there's all this stuff. Okay? So who are you listening to today? You got to try the spirits. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just say, Pastor Doug said. All right? I might have missed it. You know what preaching is? Preaching is just truth poured over personality. All right? God just pours truth over personality. That's why people have different styles and different methods, but that's okay because our God is a creator. Amen? So I might miss it. I might say something wrong. Matter of fact, sometimes my tongue gets tied here. Amen? I intend to say it, but it didn't come out quite the way I said it. Well, you must line everything up with the Word of God. Did the Bible say test every spirit? Because we live in a realm of falseness. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13 in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 13. You know, God deals in the truth. God is truth. He cannot lie. There's no lie or deception in God. He doesn't do things to deceive. He makes things plain, and he reveals his will to people who want to know it. Are you a person that wants to know God's will? He'll show you what his will is. All right, Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. For if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk in, so shall you put the evil away from the midst of you. Now, in today, the devil does not come knocking at your door with a pitchfork in hand, wearing a red suit, saying, I'm the devil. But see, he's very subtle in how he deceives. What he does is he brings thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. All right? He will emphasize your fleshly, physical nature above the spiritual nature. The devil's motto is, if it pleases you, do it. But God's motto is to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. So, why am I telling you this? Because the Bible says to test every spirit in 1 John 4. You got to test the spirits. Do they acknowledge the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? There are groups that do not believe that Jesus was divine. They don't believe, they deny his deity. And that is a blatant spirit of Antichrist. People who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, they're into error and into false. And you know what? He said there was a lot of false brethren that came from within. See, it is so important to fall in love with the truth. I'll tell you what. You've got to fall in love with this book. You've got to love it. You've got to honor it. You've got to cherish it. You've got to feed on it. I took a test yesterday, and I did very badly. And it was a riddle that said something to, you know, the dead eat it all the time. But if people eat it, they'll die. And I was never good at riddles, but the word was nothing. Fiona got the answer right away. I mean, she's just sharp like that. But, oh yeah, what is above God? Yes. Yes. Well, I was kind of tired, so I didn't do too well on the test. They had another question about how many animals did Moses bring in the ark? And I was just focused on the ark. I said 2 and 7. He said, Moses wasn't even in the ark. I was embarrassed to say that I was a pastor. My point is, you got to know the truth. The only way that you can discern a lie is knowing the truth. I worked in a bank for 4 years, and we had to be aware of counterfeit money. And the way we knew a counterfeit was we studied the real thing. Amen. You don't have to study the counterfeit. You study the real thing, and if it doesn't line up with the real thing, then it's false, it's fake, it's counterfeit. The devil is a counterfeiter. The devil is behind every false thing. He is a liar. He's the father of lies, but you can know the truth and beat him at his own game. But you've got to try and test the spirits. All right? Go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you know, John said a lot about not being deceived. Okay? Don't turn there, but just listen. These are some of the things that John said from 1 John 1 to 4 about not being deceived. 1 John 1, 6, he talks about people that walk in darkness, they speak falsely and do not live or practice the truth. You know, if there's anything that's moving in your life to get you not to practice the truth, it's trying to lead you astray. It's trying to lead you into darkness. All right? 1 John 2, 4 says, whoever says, I know him, but fails to keep and obey commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. In other words, we can't say that we're believers and act like unbelievers. That means we're lying. And any lie that you give place to is a road down darkness. It's a road away from the truth. It's a road to deception. Because people who are deceived don't know that they are. Huh? How did I get here? I don't know. 1 John 2:18 talks about the Antichrist who is coming. 1 John 2:26 he says, I write unto you with reference to those who would deceive you. 1 John 3:7, let no one deceive you and lead you astray. 1 John 3:12, be not like Cain, who was a murderer. How did he get to be a murderer? Because he thought on the suggestion that he was jealous and envious of his brother Abel, and that led him to murder. Do you see how he went down the wrong path? It started with a thought. God gave Cain an opportunity to change. He said, if you change, sin's knocking at the door. But if you change your way, you can shut the door on sin. As a pastor, I don't want to see anybody into error. And I don't want to see people in darkness. I want to see people walking in the promises of God. And I want to see people to become all that they can in Christ Jesus. But it's whether or not you refuse what he's saying. 1 John 4:1. Don't trust every spirit. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Well, is it idol deception? You got to be careful of the idols that are in your life. Idol is, what's an idol? Anything that's more important than God. And you worship it regularly. It could be anything. I used to, back in, I preached in a message, a revival actually, for a week in Illinois. And in my hometown, there's a bar on every corner. And a church. And a lot of churches and bars have come together. Yeah. And they set up alcohol and they worshiped them in temples all around town. And I don't even know how I got on that. But it's your job to recognize the truth. And make a decision in your life that you're going to stand up for the truth. And when a suggestion from the enemy comes in, call them on it. Say, you're a liar, liar, pants on fire. Don't let the devil lie to you. And the only way that you can not let him lie to you is to know the truth. Okay? So you have to ask yourself, does every spiritual experience pass the truth test? Does it line up with the Word of God? Does it exalt Jesus? Does it glorify Jesus? Not man, but Jesus. Amen? That's how you know. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. And verse 4, he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Say, I'm an overcomer. See, once you become a child of God, you already have the advantage over the world system. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are made, you have the ability to overcome them. You have His strength, His power, His word, His blood. You have worship. You have the armor of God. And all these things are used to defeat the enemy. All right? So, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Notice, the Bible says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're just passing by. I'm actually a citizen in heaven. Can you say amen? I belong to the family of God. I'm part of His household. I am a son of God. Now, there are people who are in the world. What does that mean to be in the world? That means the world's in you. That means you think like the world. You talk like the world. You smell like the world. You look like the world. That's what it means. But he who is in us, verse 5 says, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. You know, when the world speaks, the world listens. But when God speaks, God's children listen. That's the difference. There are two paths that a person can be on. One leads to life, one leads to destruction. All right? Are you on the right path? Look at verse 6. We are of God. Say, I'm of God. He that knows God hears us. When I speak to another believer, there's something that occurs. It's called a like spirit of faith. There's an exchange. You know, there's something about you that I like. There's something on the inside of you that I'm drawn to. Why? Because I'm a believer. We're of the same mold. We have the same blood running through our spiritual veins. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. You ever talk to someone and they don't listen? Okay. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Aren't you glad that you can know the difference? God has given you everything you need to discern what is true and what is error. You know, when you punch too many keys on a calculator, it comes up error. It can't think that you made a mistake. It can't compute those numbers. There's an error. When you hit something on the computer and something comes up, an error has occurred. I hate that message. Because I don't know what I did to cause it. Something in the programming. Just get that error off my screen. But there are really two paths to life. There's the world's path, and there's God's path. And they're very different paths. Each has different destinations. The Bible says if a man gains the whole world, look at all the stuff that I've gotten, but loses his soul, what has he gained? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This really clearly shows the two paths. Now, this is good news in verse 1. There is therefore now, everybody say now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Uh-oh, but there's a qualifier. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, condemnation will come. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you're free from condemnation. That means, what does a condemned building mean? It means it ceases to be effective for what it was designed for. It's unsafe. It's condemned. It's set for destruction. That's what it means to be condemned. But thank God, the believer who walks in the Spirit is free from condemnation. Glory to God. You can tell the devil, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. Nah. Notice verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How many laws? Two. There's one, it's the law of the Spirit of life. Then there's another law, the Spirit of death. All right? And people who obey either law get the end destination. One leads to life, one leads to death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. This is what Jesus did. He turned condemnation around and he condemned sin. He nailed it to the cross. He took away the sins of the world. Your sins have been totally wiped out by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been set free from the law of sin and death. He took away it. He gave you. He showed us. He was the living example of the Spirit of law, of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Okay? Now let's get into some of the detail of the different mindsets in these two laws. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They're always thinking about the flesh. The flesh tells them when to wake up. The flesh tells them when to eat. The flesh tells them how to treat people. You know, the flesh doesn't treat people too well. Flesh can hurt. Their mind, notice, they're always thinking about the flesh. It dominates their thinking. It governs them. I do it because it feels good. I don't want to do it because I don't feel like it. Can you help with the children? I don't feel like it. Or my favorite, I don't feel led. How about if I get you some sinkers and you can feel led? I'm only kidding. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Well, what's a spiritual thing? What you're doing right now is a spiritual thing. How many of you thought about church on Tuesday or Thursday? Or did you just think about church today because it's Sunday? Do you see what the difference is? What is your mind set on? You know, if you're driving and you set your cruise control at 60, whether you hit a hill or whether you don't, your car is going to keep it at 60 miles an hour because you set it at that. What is your mind set on? See, what your mind is set on determines the direction that you're going to go. If your mind is always set on the flesh, how you can please the flesh, dominated by the flesh, then it's going to be so easy to be led astray. But you got to set your mind on spiritual things. Verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. That word carnally is fleshly or worldly. What is it? It's death. Say it's death. Say, the carnal mind leads to death.
The carnal
mind leads to death. It does. It'll lead you down a path of destruction. But notice, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Woo! I got life and peace over here. Oh, I have death over here. But life and peace over here. Which one would you rather set your mind on? I want to head to a destination of life and peace. Where are you going? I'm going for life and peace. Where's that? Wherever I think on the Lord, think on spiritual things, that's where life and peace is. But to be carnally minded is death. See, the devil operates in the carnal mind. First John 2 says the things in the world are these: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And if those things are put above God's things, then you're setting a path for destruction. All right? Shall we go on? People are like saying, no, no, no. We're going on anyway. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In order for you to walk in all the promises of God, what must you do? Romans 12:2. Be renewed in your mind. You've got to replace in your mind different thoughts. All right? How do you renew your mind? Here's how you renew your mind. You read, you listen, you study, and you do what it says. And in that process of reading, listening, doing, your mind is going to get renewed. You're going to start, you got to quit thinking about sickness and start thinking about healing. You got to quit thinking about what you don't have and start thinking about what God has given you. You got to put the promises of God above what you feel. It doesn't feel like, you know, every time we say we're a thriving and flourishing church, you know how many feelings, well, I don't see it. I don't care what we see. I care what God said. And I'm going to say it, and it's going to happen because God said it, and His word cannot lie. I'm putting my faith in His word, not what I see. That's the difference. Verse 7. Carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, who's the book of Romans written to? Wasn't it written to the Christians in Rome? It was written to the church? I can't imagine people being part of a church thinking carnally. Well, guess what? We're in a flesh body and carnal thoughts come. It comes to everybody. Now, what you do with that thought, that's a different story. All right? Having carnal thoughts is not a thing. It's what you do with them. How long do you dwell on them? Is this helping you today? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow. The natural, you know, 2 Corinthians says the natural man can't receive the spirit of thing or the spiritual things. So this is when someone gets born again. All right? They're like a baby. They need to be taught. They need to be discipled. They need to be nurtured because they have all that carnal thinking that they were just used to. Just because a person gets born again doesn't mean you quit thinking about carnal things. You got to learn. It's a process of learning. I wish God said that our minds were made new when we get born again, but not our spirits are made new. Now, we have to choose to walk the spiritual path. This is how we're going to avoid letting spirits deceive us. You got to engage the truth on every level. How does the truth apply to your mind, to your body, to your social, to your financial, every area of life? What does the word say? That's what I'm going to do. Train your kids in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they'll not depart. Now, there's a lot of people in the world that don't agree with spanking. But God says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, there's a way to do it. Amen? You got to do it in love, not out of rage or anger. But there's a lot of things that the world disagrees with the word about. The world thinks it's okay for men to marry men, but it's not. That's an abomination. Verse 9, now we're getting into some good news. Say good news. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. How does the Spirit of God dwell in you? You get born again. You ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior. Spirit of God comes in. He's now living in you. You are now fully equipped to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to do his will because his Spirit's in you. All right? And you'll notice that when a person gets born again, some of their desires that they used to have, they no longer have, or it's not as strong in them. Okay? So, and if Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. How many want their mortal bodies quickened? That word quicken means to make alive. See, the spiritual life will affect the natural life. All right? Not the other way around. God doesn't change a person from the outside in. He changes them from the inside out. Okay? When you got born again, did your hair color change? Did your eye color change? No. But you start living now a different way. You start praying. You start studying the Word. You want to be around other believers. You desire to worship God. You want to do what's right. You have a desire. You're open for the Lord to correct you. Amen? I like verse 12. Therefore, brethren, you are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you mortify the deeds of the body? It's very simple. You say no. When your body wants to do something that disagrees with God, you say no. When someone comes to you and they want to gossip, oh, did you hear about brother so-and-so? You say no. Everybody say no. All right? Any appetite of the flesh, okay? Any appetite, it doesn't matter what, we have to practice saying no. That's why fasting is really good. Because fasting is a great way to deny the flesh, and it helps you become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Okay? How does this relate to 1 John? Because you're either of God or you're of the world. You either have the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the world in you. And it's shown by your behavior and your words. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Uh-huh. So the words that you say are actually things in your heart. And I'm finding out that, ooh, there's some stuff in my heart from years ago that I got to deal with. And the only way I'm going to deal with it is through the Spirit of God, is through the Word of God, because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and life. But you choose the path that you want to be on. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, he'll lead you to mortify the flesh. The Holy Spirit will lead you. That's in conjunction with him mortifying the deeds of the flesh. The Holy Spirit will say, you know what? You probably shouldn't have responded that way. And then I could say, you know, you're right. I missed it. Can you forgive me? Yes. Okay, boom. There we go. Do you see how simple that is? But it's when we miss it and we don't respond to what the Spirit of God wants us to do, then it gets worse and worse. All right? Then, if we don't respond to the Spirit of God, if we refuse to listen to what he says, then it's a greater opportunity for the devil to come in and to lead you astray. Because if we're not listening to the Spirit of God, who are we listening to? What voice is leading us? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm allowing the Holy Ghost to lead and guide me. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. I got to even give you some better news. Are you ready for some better news? Now, if what I'm saying bears witness with your heart, just make an adjustment in your heart right now. You know? Just fine-tune your heart and say, God, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to be dedicated, committed, consecrated for you, set apart, sanctified for you. Do you realize that in all the world in Noah's day, there was only 8 righteous people? I don't know how many people lived on the earth in Noah's day. But there was one man who found grace in God's sight. His name was Noah. Thank God for someone finding grace. Do you realize that one man finding grace saved the whole world? How could the world be so wicked that it gets down to 8 people that want to do what's right? You know what? I don't care if it's one person that wants to do what's right. Be the one person. When you're pressured to do things that go against the Word of God, you got to resist that pressure. You got to rise above it. You got to fight it. You got to say no. You got to say no. Sometimes you got to say no several times. The devil's hard of hearing sometimes. Of course, I would be too if I was a naked madman running around in the Spirit. All right, 1 John chapter 4. I want you to know that he also goes on here in verse 7. So he tells us to try the spirits because he tells us that we're in 2 different categories, the world or the spirit. And there's 2 paths that we're on. And now he goes on to say, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. The world wants you to think that they created love. They sing about it like they created. God is the author of love. He's the one that came up with love. He's the one that showed love. He is love. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. Say, God is love. Isn't it awesome how we get to know love, true love, in the form of God, our Father? God is love. Maybe you've never experienced love like you should. You can do it right now. You can experience the love of God. Just open up your heart and just allow God to love you like He already does. He accepts you. He loves you. He wants to lead and guide you. He's got plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you an expected end. God is love. Love is a choice and love is action. How did God choose to love this world? He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world. Okay, what does love mean? It means sacrifice. It means giving. It means giving up. How would you like to be Jesus and go from heaven to earth where you're unlimited up here but limited down here? You're eternal here, but now you're bound by time here. That was a sacrifice. Thank God. God is love. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. It's time to start living through God. It's time to start taking what Jesus did on the cross and apply it to our life and start doing it. Start being a Christ-like. Start bearing His cross. Amen? Well, I'll pick up my cross someday. No, today is the day. Now is the time of salvation. Faith is now. You do it right now. Make any adjustment in your heart that you need to make right now in this moment. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit, who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment, will help us to make the adjustments in our heart right now. Father, forgive us. We have missed the mark. We have sinned. We have went our own way. But right now, we're seeking You. We're seeking Your face. We're turning from our wicked ways, and we're going to follow You with our whole hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. That is how it takes to make an adjustment. That's simple. Right there. Whew. Can you just feel that fresh, refreshing water? The cleansing water. Justification. You're just as if you never sinned. You're just as if, Jesus says, you'll say, Lord, I made this mistake. He'll say, what mistake? I can't see it. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. Our God is love. He loves us with such a passionate love. God's love is not weak. Love is not weak. Do you think anything is weak that can hold up under anything? That can bear all things, believe all things? You know, it takes love to believe the best of everything. The devil wants to take one word and cause you to run with a negative word to believe the worst, but God wants you to believe the best. Let's believe the best about our brothers and sisters. I like to say the devil's a dirt bag. He's a vacuum cleaner too. He's made to walk on his belly and suck dirt. Verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's our atoning sacrifice. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love who? One another. You better not speak bad about your brother or your sister. That's not love. We got to speak the best about them. And sometimes we just need God to come in and help us. You know? Our flesh likes to register things, but God's blood flushes it out. You know, I like what my friend from Tennessee said. The word of God is like Drano. He pours it in and he flushes all that stuff out. Of course, he didn't use the word stuff, but I'm not going to go into that. Aren't you glad that God's like Drano? He'll unclog your pipes. He'll make you clean and pure, a vessel of honor, meet for his use, prepared unto every good work. God is love. And we're supposed to love one another. From 1 John 1 to 1 John 5, I don't know how many times he mentions about loving one another and loving God. You know, this chapter in the Bible talks about knowing God, fellowshipping with God, and loving God. It's basic to Christianity. You know? When you love someone, you want to be with them, right? You don't want to say, oh, well, they're going there, I'm not going there. No. What do you think? You think, you know, God loved us while we were yet sinners. While we were apart from him, he took the first step. All right? Doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. What matters is who takes the first step. It's not about right or wrong. Couples, if you get into an argument, it's not about who's right or wrong. It's about who takes the first step. Look, we've got an oil spill in this nation. Someone's got to take the first step to plug. Quit pointing fingers, just plug it. Amen? That's what we got to do. When the devil's trying to get in your life, who cares? Just plug it. Plug him out. Stop the devil in his tracks. Don't let him get any further. Don't give him a place. Because sin will wreak more havoc than the oil spill. And we're going to pray for that oil spill here in a few minutes. Just plug the leak. The Bible says in Ephesians, give no place to the enemy. How do you not give him place? You shut the door on him. Put an electric fence around your garden. Zap him when he gets close. By the power of the Holy Ghost. When there's division and strife, the Bible says with strife comes every evil work. So if you don't plug the hole of strife, there's other things that are going to come in. Because this is all about walking in love. Where Christianity meets the road is how we love. Even when people hurt us, how do we love? I'm learning more and more how to love, how to let go. The devil wants you to hold on to things. Hurtful words, things done, things not done that should have been done. But true Christians are called, they're commanded to love. And if you don't know what love is, get an amplified Bible and read 1 Corinthians 13 to find out what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not take account of the wrongs done to it. The love of God. We're called to love one another. The world will know we are Christians by our love for one another. If the body of Christ would just love one another, imagine what we could accomplish. Church is not a social clique. It's a body of believers that come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of you have gifts to offer, and God planted you here so that your gifts and our gifts could meet and there'd be great things happening. Each one of you have got gifts. You're not here by accident. You're here by design. God wants to get an inheritance to you. So he sent you here because we're all about inheritance. Look for opportunities to love your brothers and your sisters. How well do you know? Take some time to get to know your brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible says in James, and I'm not even going on my notes now. This is kind of interesting. Confess your sins to one another. How many sins have Christians confessed to one another in the last year? Maybe because we don't have that type of person that we can do that with. That's not right. You got to have, God put his body in place as a structure for healing to occur. He says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Let's look at that. Go over to James 5 for a minute. Not too far away. James 5. In verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or makes power readily available. Do you have someone that you can confess your faults to that loves you anyway? Bible says confess your faults. If you don't have someone, find someone. Now, he didn't say confess your faults and then tell it to the next person. Oh, did you believe brother so-and-so's faults? Let me tell you about his faults. No, he said pray for them that you may be healed right then and there. It's done. It's under the blood, not to be brought up again. Guess what? We all have faults. Well, like California, we all have faults. And you know what? The bigger the crack, the bigger the separation. Any shift on the path of the world can make that fault bigger. See, when you confess your faults, you disarm the enemy from using it against you. He can't hold it over your head. He can't bring it up again because it's out. It's exposed by the light. And that's when healing can occur. If you're married, you probably had to confess your faults one to another many times. I like what Ruth Graham says. She's the marriage is the union of two forgivers. God wants, or the devil wants to get you out of the love of God. He works very hard. But he's a liar. So if you choose that you're going to walk in love and forgive, then when he comes knocking, you just say, sorry, you got the wrong address. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. And this is a good one. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. And we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Go down to verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Say that. Say, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So if you're in the love of the Father, perfect love is God, all right? There's no more perfect love than God, Jesus Christ. And he's there. If fear comes at your door, let me just use this Kleenex box. Okay, perfect love grabs a hold of fear's neck and casts it out. It yanks it out. It tears it out of the way. See, perfect love will cast out fear. Perfect love and fear cannot reside in the same house. You want to put a death blow to fear and to worry? Then get in love. And let perfect love cast out fear. Grabs fear by the neck and say, fear, out the door you go. I like, there's a song by Carmen. It's Satan Bite the Dust. And he talks about, you know, the chorus is Satan Bite the Dust. You want to kick Satan out of your life? Then let love come in. You can't hurt me, Satan. I don't care what you say or what you do. You're a liar. I'm not going to believe you. You got to go in Jesus' name. One time, Brother Hagin, my spiritual mentor, he had been healed off of being 18 months bedridden, semi-paralyzed. And he had gotten healed, and he was doing good, and all of a sudden, some symptoms came back in his body. And he would hear the devil's thoughts would come to him and say, you're going to die. The sickness has come upon you. And he would just laugh. Ha, 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 ha. And the devil said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. The devil said, you're laughing at me? He said, yeah, I'm laughing at you. He said, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. And the devil would try to say again, no, the sickness has come upon you. You're going to die. And he'd go, ha, ha, ha. And the devil said, what do you do? He says, I'm laughing at you. He said, you're laughing at me. He said, yeah. He said, Jesus healed me. Sickness is not going to come on me again. And that went on for just a little bit longer. But guess what? The devil never bothered him again with sickness. He was set free. He went on to preach for over 60 years full-time ministry. But sometimes you got to do that with the devil. You got to fight. Sometimes the best way to fight is just get in God. The Bible says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. We just got to let God arise and his enemies will scatter. All right? Now, all of this, knowing the spirit of truth and error, knowing what path to take, and walking in love, all have to do with Christianity. You ought to study this book. And this will help you become a mighty warrior for God. How many want their prayers to be more powerful? All right? Go with me to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. First John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says this. This is the confidence that we have in him. If you're not walking in love, if you don't know which path to take, you're not going to have any confidence. But this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. He what? He hears us. So the key to powerful prayer is to ask according to his will. If it's in the word, you can have confidence for it. If it's not in the word, you better have his voice. Otherwise, you won't have any confidence for it. So your prayers must be in line with his will. All right? He hears you. And if we know that he hears you, how do you know that he hears you? Because you're praying according to his will or his word. When you pray according to the word, when you pray according to his, the word and the will are the same. So when you pray according to the word, you know that he hears you. You can say, Lord, your word says this. And God is just waiting to hear his word so that he can perform it. And that brings confidence, assurance. You know that you know that you know. And if we know that he hears us, what's going to happen? Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hallelujah. You can have whatever you ask, as long as you ask in accordance to his will. And if you're doing that, you know that he hears you. And if he hears you, you can have it. The thing of it is, you've got to see yourself with it before you have it. If you are believing God for healing in your body, and the moment you pray for healing, you want God to heal you, from that point on, you better get out of agreement with sickness. You've got to see yourself healed and whole, and you got to say, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. Because Isaiah 55, or verse 3, says, by his stripes you're healed. So, confident prayer will produce powerful results. So you got to test the spirits. You got to know which path that you're on. If you're on the wrong path, it doesn't take but an adjustment to get on the right path. Then you got to know that God is love and you're secure in love. And then prayer. Pray according to his word. John 15, 7, if you abide in him and his words abide in you. How do you know if the word's abiding in you? Well, if you're doing it or not. That's the only way. It's not really abiding in you. If you can confess it, you got to do it. I used to think that if I just get the word in me, I'll be okay. But no, I got to do it. I can't just get it in me and not do it. That'd be like putting money in a safe and never spending it. You got to exchange it, amen? So, God wants to do some things here today. He wants to reaffirm his love for you. He wants to get you on the right path. And he wants to make sure that you know that he loves you and that you can rest secure in that love. And he wants you to use all these things to be mighty in prayer. You know how powerful prayer is? It's an aerial assault on the kingdom of darkness. God can use you to change a city, a nation. So, stand up with me. We're going to get on the right path. And we're going to follow it. We're going to get in the love of God. What that means is get to know some people in the body of Christ. I mean, know them. Where if they call you, you say, oh yeah, you recognize their voice. That's going to take spending time with them. I don't know if I want to do that. Well, you better. Listen, we're going to spend eternity together for a long time. You better get to love me now. Otherwise, I'm going to come knocking at your mansion. Say, you remember me? So listen. Let's put this word into practice. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, We just ask you to direct us and guide us. Lead us by your Holy Spirit, Father, so that we take the right course of action. In Jesus' name. That one worship song about giving our heart that we did this morning. Yeah, let's do the rescue one. Now, this part of the service makes people nervous. People don't like coming up, especially in the church that we're at. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite everybody to come up if you want to. And I just want you to, you and God, you worship the Lord. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about being on the right path, getting secure in His love, and being able to test the Spirit. So if you want to come up, I just want you to enter into a personal time of worship with the Lord. And I believe that He's going to speak to you. Amen. I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm not going to touch you. But I don't want you focused on anybody that's near you or around you. It is you and the Lord. And you pour your heart out to Him. And you let His Holy Spirit lead and guide you and speak to you. Father, I thank you right now that there's a shaking taking place, Father, in hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Lord, we're raising the standard. We're raising the bar, Father. We're making it to follow you. Yes. I just want you to worship.